In Joshua 24, at the end of Joshua's life, as he's just coming to the end of his life, he says this in Joshua 24:14. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your forefathers, worship beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Joshua was one who always led by example, and he was a worshipper. He had been a worshipper for pretty much all of his life. Remember how he would linger at the tent of meeting when Moses had to go back to continue with all the things that he had to do, and he would stay there. He would just linger. He would stay longer in the presence of God, continuing to worship him. And now, as an old man, as he's recognizing that he is coming towards the end of his life, he wanted to instill that same passion into the generations that would follow him. And he recognized that it had to be personal and not just following what others were saying or doing. And he recognized that worship's a choice that had to be made, and he was putting down a personal marker in it all when he said, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And I kind of just noticed the inclusion of the household in that declaration. I don't know, how about you making a declaration over your household? There's a lovely verse in Isaiah 59:20 that kind of is a promise that I declare all the time. But just as for me and my household, and that household can take many different shapes and forms. And so just, you know, lovely that declaration that can be made. And then worship of God has to be exclusive. You can't worship God and at the same time have other gods. And that's not simply Joshua's idea. God insists on it. In Isaiah 48:11, it says this: for my own sake, for my own sake, I would do it. For how can my name be defiled and profaned? I will not give my glory to another. And this wasn't simply God in kind of selfish mode or anything like that. It wasn't a proud statement, it wasn't a demand of some tyrannical kind of God, but it is the act of God who is altogether glorious. Because to allow other gods, and let's face it, all other gods are false gods. There is only one true God. All other gods are false gods. To allow other gods to share his glory would ascribe to them something that is not theirs to have. And it would potentially lead others into the worship of false gods. It would take people away from what we're made for and fulfilled by, which is worship. Worship of the true and living God. Worship magnifying his greatness. So there in Joshua 24, he goes on to say, now throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, we will serve the Lord our God and obey him. On that day Joshua made a covenant for the people, and there at Shechem he reaffirmed for them decrees and laws. And Joshua recorded these things in the book of the Lord God. Then he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak tree near the holy place of the Lord. See, he said to all the people, this stone will be a witness against us. It has heard all the words the Lord has said to us. It will be a witness against you if you are untrue to your God. Then Joshua sent the people away, each to their own inheritance. One thing I've always noticed about that passage is that they didn't say that actually that they would throw away their gods. They say, yeah, we'll worship your God, but they didn't kind of add that other bit. And I kind of get the sense that they were attempting to do what so many people still attempt today, and that is to worship God, but also hang on to other things at the same time. the other things that they hold on to. And we might not have literal godlike idols, although I'd have to say they're becoming increasingly more widespread in our culture. You particularly see all the Buddhas around and many, you know, artifacts, you know, cultural items. We describe them in different ways, don't we? But even if we don't have those, there can easily be other things other than God that we place value on, to the degree that we're not actually willing to let them go or to get rid of them. I used to travel a lot on business, particularly into the Middle East, and I would often make a point of bringing back with me something that kind of reflected the place that I'd been to and the place that I'd visited. And I had a couple of things that I brought back with me when I went to Egypt. And I had just what I thought was a lovely picture on papyrus. It was it just had all the symbols, and I had the pictures there of pharaohs and all sorts of things going on. I had another one which is a lacquer picture on wood, which again, I like them both. They both, as I say, had hieroglyphics on there. They both had pharaohs on there. They both had people coming to them, offering, you know, bringing things to him. And for me, it represented much that I'd seen during that time in Egypt. I'd been down to Tutankhamun's tomb, Valley of the Kings, various other places, and just amazing historical artifacts that you can see there, and which were great. But there was a point, actually, when I realised that I had to let those things go, because in a way what they were doing, they were symbolizing in all the images on there, they were symbolizing the worship of other gods. That they were coming actually to worship, in the pictures they were coming to worship Pharaoh, because that's what you did. And I have to say, you know, I struggle with it, because they're just great items, they look lovely, they remind me of that time there. But eventually, I did what I was supposed to do, and I burnt them. And I deliberately burnt them, because it wasn't simply sufficient to say, well, I can just give them away to someone else. You know, they had to be destroyed. I felt it was important for me that they were destroyed. And, you know, just, it was a struggle. And, it took me a little time to comply with what I was being asked to do. But there may be other things that you're hanging on to that you need to let go of. And not necessarily physical things. They can be attitudes, they can be decisions, things that hold on, that get a hold on you, things that you struggle or you just cannot let go of. And the sad reality is that history tells us that the Israelites did hang on to their idols. They did hang on to the worship of other gods, false gods, abandoning the true God, and it ended up in their going into exile. And I think that is a warning to us all about this. Of course, not everyone in exile was like that. In Daniel 3, you find, along with Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, that have been carried off into exile, into Babylon, to serve the king. And I just want to read that account in Daniel 3 before we move on into worship. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold 90 feet high, 9 feet wide, and set it up on the plains of Dura in the province of Babylon. It was an impressive, imposing statue. And I kind of had the sense that it was a reflection of the dream that he had, that Daniel had interpreted, of this image, the head of gold, and then all the other bits of the body that changed. And, you know, he was the head of gold, and so I think he's saying, well, that's great, I'll make this great image of me, and I'm the one to be worshipped. I kind of sensed there was something about it. Then he summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he has set up. So the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar set up, and they stood before it. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "Nations and peoples of every language, this is what you are commanded to do. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will be immediately thrown into a blazing furnace. Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, and all kinds of music, all the nations and peoples of every language fell down and worshipped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. At this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "May the king live forever. Your majesty has issued a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold, and that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up." You see the accusation that was being made about them. It was being presented as disloyalty when the reality was that they'd always proved themselves to be totally loyal, totally capable, diligent in their work, that they were singled out for that. But what was being asked of them was taking them beyond that. And we see hints of that, signs of that in the culture around us now, that people are being asked to embrace all kinds of things that are nothing to do with their work, but almost it's not simply enough to stand to one side, so to speak, but to be positively embracing things that cannot be embraced. It's a challenge, an increasing challenge. We need to pray for everyone in the workplace that are facing those challenges. So, furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now when you have heard the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what god will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." I kind of love that they had absolute confidence in God and his eternal care for them, but not for a particular outcome. Sometimes we qualify our confidence and our position in God by saying, "God, if you do this, then I will follow you." And people get thrown when the prayer that they pray doesn't get answered in the way that they were believing for. But we have to separate out, God is God. They saw that whatever happens, you are God. Nothing will ever change who you are. You are all powerful. You are unlimited in your capacity to do things. You are unshakable. You are uniquely God. And I will worship you whatever takes place. That doesn't throw worship into question. Whatever takes place, I will continue to worship. And also that the worship of him is exclusive. Increasing challenge in our multicultural society. Worship of him is exclusive. It cannot be, well, I can worship these others, but you know, my real passion is this God. It's exclusive. Absolutely exclusive. So then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude towards them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leapt to his feet in amazement and asked his advisers, "Well, there are 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire." They replied, "Certainly, your majesty." He said, "Look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son of the gods. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. Do you see how he addressed God? Servants of the Most High God. Before it was kind of, I've set up something to be worshipped. He saw God because of their stand, because of what they had said and followed through. He saw God for who he was. He is the Most High God. He is the God above all gods. And it took this pagan king to actually declare the greatness of God in that situation. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded round them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was the hair of their heads singed, their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses turned into piles of rubble. For no other God can save in this way. Is that amazing? He's saying, here's a God. No other God can do this. You know, this is a pagan king. This is Nebuchadnezzar who was saying it. He recognized that they were people who trusted in God. Trusted, totally trusted with everything in him. They were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship another God. And he saw him for what he was. And then he did the only thing he knew what to do to honour them. He promoted them in the province of Babylon. So we come to worship. We come to worship God alone. We come to worship the high and exalted God. We come to worship the God without equal. We come to God alone, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We come to worship this morning. So let's do just that.